it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio on the air, live from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. CannabisRadio.com. Sorry for the volume there, getting things adjusted here in the studio. Seemed like that was a little hot. Oh my goodness, we've got Democratic primaries going on in Michigan and in Mississippi. If you're in one of those two states and you're listening to my voice right now live, turn this off and go vote, unless you've already voted, and in which case, thank you for voting. But we got this big race going down, and it's interesting because, you know, me as the pot guy, I come and talk to you every day about marijuana, but lately I've been putting some words down in the political realm. Online, I'm a blogger at Huffington Post, and my last three or four posts have been purely political posts, nothing to do with marijuana aside from tangentially referencing Hillary and Bernie's stances on marijuana. But mostly I've been writing these pieces about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and how I will not vote for Hillary Clinton. Right now I'm looking at a piece that's been written by one of my favorite writers, the Rude Pundit, with whom I almost always agree. And he says, get off it. You know you're going to vote for Hillary Clinton this this November if she's the nominee. You know you will. You know, quit fronting, right? Quit posing like you're going to vote any other way. To which I have to say, sorry, Rude Pundit. I will not vote for Hillary Clinton. It's not going to happen. So I'm getting calls now from some media because this post I wrote up on this, you know, in this Hillary thing, ended up getting like 50, 60, 70,000 likes, something like that. Really kind of blew up, went viral. And now I'm kind of getting courted by some of these media to do some interviews and to talk about this stuff. I got Yahoo News calling me after the show here to talk about this. And I wonder if they're going to paint me as the, you know, the ultimate Bernie bro, right? Straight, white, male, privileged, smokes pot, unrealistic, idealistic, called Radical Russ, right? So we'll see how this goes. But I'm sorry. I just cannot bring myself to vote for her. And it's not like I'm some sort of crazy idealist, right? Obviously, when it comes to the marijuana thing, I'm supporting all measure of kind of pro-business, moderate marijuana legalizations. I'm not one of the stoners against legalization. I'm not one of the true legalizers out there that thinks the only way to legalize is to have it have perfect legalization right out of the gate, right? So you'd think, well, gee, Russ, if you're so, you know, incrementalist when it comes to marijuana, why couldn't you see the good in Hillary Clinton and that she'd be leagues better than whoever the Republican might be, and you'd get some decent, you know, incremental good things out of Hillary? The problem with it, though, is that I could go that route with Hillary Clinton if there were six things I disagreed with her on, or 12, or 20. My list is up to like 30 now. Like, at some point, a candidate has to be so against so many of your core values that the things that she and you share aren't enough to outweigh those which you don't share. And somebody wrote it on my Facebook feed the other day about, you know, this is a negotiation between the Democratic base and the party. And in a negotiation, if you're not willing to walk away, you have no bargaining power.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development, and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I said, on this program, what do they want? My grandchildren and the monster. Oh, did I scare you?
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Educator, author, and advocate Dr. Mitch Earlywine is here to tackle the burning issues.
And I'm here to clear up the myths about cannabis and burn them away with science.
CannabisRadio.com presents a no-holds-barred platform that seeks to redefine and revolutionize the entire scope of the cannabis culture while opening the door for more to join the cannabis crusade.
Dr. Kevin Hill.
You can't ignore the fact that, like alcohol, most people who use don't have a problem. So I think that you need to think about policy in that way while educating people properly about marijuana. I think that's the way to go.
Burning Issues, only on CannabisRadio.com.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry. No food till this is done.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back. I hope you'll indulge me just a little bit longer as I unpack some of this political stuff on this primary Tuesday in Michigan and Mississippi. And if you're new to the show, let me just let you know, hour one, the Russ Belville Show, is the all marijuana show. You listen to hour one, you're going to get all the marijuana news and opinion and analysis and all that. Hour two is Toker Talk Radio, and that means it's a talk radio show by, for, and about tokers. Doesn't necessarily mean we'll always be talking about marijuana. I think it's important that we have these discussions about politics aside from just the marijuana involved in them. Like, what are the political leanings of the cannabis community, even on issues outside of cannabis? And I think these are great discussions. So in this discussion of Bernie and Hillary, and I was talking about how I'm kind of getting pegged as this Bernie bro, and I'm part of this Bernie or bust movement that says we will not vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm reading this piece by the Rude Pundit, who makes the very common argument that people like me are children who, if we don't get our way, we're just going to stomp our feet, take our ball, and go home. And that the responsible moral thing to do is that even if you don't like Hillary Clinton, you have to hate Trump or Cruz,
And so you have a moral obligation to vote for Hillary, lest Trump or Cruz get in and destroy the country. And this is where this is the big problem I have with that line of thinking. And I understand it because I've made these arguments in the past, but I think the times have changed and that argument doesn't hold as much weight anymore. First of all, if somebody tells me that, well, if you don't vote for Hillary, you're responsible for all the evil that befalls the world under a President Trump, I have to ask those Hillary Clinton supporters if they've washed their hands of the hundreds of thousands of dead Iraqis yet that are the beneficiaries of her vote to let George W. Bush go to war. I wonder if the civilians that have been killed in Honduras because of her actions as Secretary of State in helping a coup there, are they responsible for those as well? How about the people in Libya and the terrible thing? So, you know, if I'm responsible for the terrible shit that happens under Trump, then the people supporting Hillary have a whole lot of stuff they're already responsible for that I won't vote for and I won't vote to continue. And this supposed horror that we'll have under a President Trump, when it comes to foreign intervention, military intervention, I actually trust him more than I trust Hillary Clinton. I actually trust that Donald Trump would be less interventionist. He'll talk tough. He'll posture. I just don't see it. I don't see this horror. And the other horror is supposed to be the Supreme Court, right? My God, if you don't vote for Hillary, you're letting Trump or, God worse, Cruz get in there. And you know what? I'll tell you what, folks. If Cruz gets the nomination, all bets are off. I might even hold my nose for Hillary Clinton against. Cruz scares me far more than Donald Trump does. Donald Trump doesn't believe the shit that's coming out of his mouth. Donald Trump doesn't know jack about governing. Donald Trump is playing a reality show, and he's playing the media, and he's drinking all the Republicans' milkshakes at this point. But to him, it's just, you know, another show. It's another game. It's another deal. He knows we're not going to deport 11 million people. It's just physically not possible. It's logistically not possible. It's economically not desirable. Donald Trump's a business guy. He's in the hotel and casino business. Businesses that thrive off of undocumented labor. I mean, come on. But Cruz believes that stuff. Cruz's dad, have you ever like followed any of the Rafael Cruz stuff? I mean, these are like your fire-breathing, apocalyptic, full Bible-toting wackaloons. So if it's Ted Cruz, then yeah, maybe I can change my mind. But if it's Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, I don't fear Donald Trump. Donald Trump's been going to bat for Planned Parenthood lately. Not the abortion part, but hey, women get a lot of their health care done there. You know, he's defended it a couple times. I think Donald Trump would be surprisingly moderate in his social policies. Now, he'd be a pro-business whore as far as electing some sort of Supreme Court judge that would expand Citizens United or give corporations more benefits. But how are you going to guarantee me Hillary Clinton's not going to nominate someone like that? I mean, given how close she is in bed with the financial industries and all of that. So this idea that, you know, we're just going to shut up and take it and vote for Hillary also ignores another thing. And that is, what do you really think the problem is? See, I think this lesser of two evils thinking has evolved thanks to the same sort of pressures that have turned our economy into quarterly thinking, right? You know how every quarter we have to show a quarterly profit. Everything is all about the quarter. There's no long-term thinking in corporations anymore, right? It's all short-term gain. We got to make that quarterly profit. And I think there's a similar thing that's happened to our politics where it's all about this 4 years, this presidential election, the most important presidential election ever, without any concern to the long-term arcs in politics. What have we gotten for this lesser of two evils thinking? What's been the result? So that's what it's been. It's not been so much vote for our guy. It's been vote to keep the other guy out because the other guy is so much worse. What has been the result of that? Well, the result is the party that used to be the party of Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and Dwight Eisenhower, progressive Republicans. Teddy Roosevelt even started a progressive party when the Republicans wouldn't move forward. These kind of guys, Teddy Roosevelt, starting national parks. Hell, you had Eisenhower warning against the military-industrial complex and doing the interstate highway plan. Hell, Nixon created the EPA. We've got that Republican Party has now sold its soul as of the 1980s and the moral majority and Jerry Falwell and Ronald Reagan and all that, sold its soul to evangelicals and the most racist, nativist losers in the country, that Southern strategy, playing dog whistle to racism. They've moved so far to the right, you can't even see them anymore. Teddy Roosevelt and Dwight Eisenhower wouldn't even recognize them as Republicans. They'd recognize them as fascists. And so to be the lesser evil to that, since the Republican Party went ahead and kept listening to the worst elements of its base and kept making these Faustian bargains between its corporate wing, its evangelical wing, and its nativist racist wing, they've moved so far to the right that in response, the Democrats didn't move farther to the left. They found they could slip to the right. They could keep slipping right. That's where the money is. We can go. And as politics, of course, became more beholden to money, there was a natural gravity. There was a natural pull. See, it used to be politics was all about the people, mobilizing people. And that's why Democrats needed unions and needed the social rights movements and needed people, the power of people. But as the power of people diminished and the power of corporations rose, the power of money in our politics rose, that created a natural gravity toward the money side of the political aisle, which has always been the right side, always been the conservative side. That's what I always liked about American politics. When I was growing up, it's like, Daddy, why are we Democrats? Because Democrats are the party of the working people. Republicans are the party of the owners and the rich. And you need both sides to have a natural kind of ecosystem there so that the Democrats are the mommy and the Republicans are the daddy. And the daddy needs to be strict and make sure mommy doesn't spend too much money, but mommy needs to be strict and make sure daddy takes care of the kids, right? That was my first introductions to politics when I was a kid, watching, I think it was Ford and Carter debating. And I still believe in that. And I believe what's happened, and part of why our politics are so toxic now, is because that natural order, that natural balance or ecosystem has slid so far to the right with the introduction of money in the politics and the corruption that now today's Democrats, your Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton, are as unrecognizable to FDR and Lyndon Johnson and Jimmy Carter as today's Republicans are to Nixon, Eisenhower, and Teddy Roosevelt. So if you're looking at long-term arcs, if you're a long-term thinker and you're not just focused on the quarterly gain and the four-year presidential race, did we win this one? Did we lose this one? If you're looking at that long-term arc, you can't vote for Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton just continues and further cements in that rightward shift. Every time a Democrat wins the presidency and it moves farther and farther to the right, the more the Democrats in the lower levels and such have to follow that pull to the right as well. That's why we have so many so-called blue dog Democrats from, conservative southern districts and such. We keep seeing this pull farther. So what's going to pull them back to the left? What's going to pull Democrats back to the left? The power of the people. And the only way the people's power can be felt is in the power of the vote. And that would be if they can't get enough votes because we're sitting home.
But isn't marijuana or dope illegal?
Only for those who enjoy it.
I want the Democrats at the end of the 2016 election, whether they win or whether they lose, to have to look at the numbers and say, well, look here. Here's 1 million votes. Here's 2 million votes. Here's 5 million votes for Bernie Sanders, whatever it turns out to be. 5 million votes we could have had if we keep tacking to the left. They're not going to see that if they just keep getting our votes.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barak has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Still talking about the U.S. presidential elections. The primary is going on right now, and why it's in the strategic interest of people with a left-wing agenda to not vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm not saying vote for Donald Trump or whoever gets the nomination on that side. You can always vote for Gary Johnson. You could always vote for Jill Stein. But to me, there's only two ways that Democrats will get the message that they've gone too far to the right. One is if turnout really sucks. We all know that low turnout benefits Republicans, high turnout benefits Democrats. This year, they're going to have all sorts of crazy turnout if Donald Trump is the nominee, and it looks like he's going to be. Donald Trump so far in the primaries has been turning out unlikely voters. You know, when they do those polls and they say, among likely voters, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's because about, what is it, a third of the people don't bother to even vote. Or is it two-thirds? I forget. Don't even, well, two-thirds probably in the primaries. Don't even bother to vote because they don't care, because no one's talking to them. No one's representing them. They don't believe change is possible. They think the system's rigged. They think it's all bought and paid for, that if they don't have two commas in their bank account, nobody gives a shit what they think. And the science proves it. We've seen the social scientists prove this with studies that show that the values and ideals of the common people matter statistically zero to our elected officials, and the values and ideals of the wealthy elite make all the difference in the world. So when you're faced with a situation like that and you're told, well, if you're given Trump and Clinton, you just have to hold your nose and vote for Clinton, then what incentive does the Democratic Party have at all to move in any direction back toward where it used to be? If they can constantly, every 4 years, just come back and say, well, we supported fracking and warfare and spying and drone bombing and whatever else we could add into it. We don't want to break up the banks. We think single payer is not going to work. $15 an hour minimum wage is too high. We better not even try. They can do anything they want because they can always just fall back on, well, what are you going to do? Vote for the racist, homophobe, misogynist? Sorry, I want more. Sorry that I want more from my leaders than just, well, you can't vote for the other guys because they're terrible. Why don't you guys try being good? It's just become, you know, this is, I don't know how many presidential elections I've lived through now. I'm 48, so a few. And it's just getting to the point where year after year, election after election, being told that we have to choose between one candidate who's doing bending over backwards to put business in front of people and another candidate that's bending over backwards to put business in front of people and crucify people who are gay or have abortions or have dark skin. Like, no matter what the choice is, I have to choose someone who chooses business over people. That's the choices now. No matter what, you get someone who chooses business over people. And I just can't take that anymore. And I just, the only long-term solution I can see is a abandoning by liberals and progressives of the Democratic Party. Now, should it go over to the Green Party or to the Libertarian Party or whatever? I don't know. All I do know is that lesser of two evils has gotten us where we're at. Lesser of two evils has slid this party from FDR to LBJ to Jimmy Carter to Bill Clinton to Barack Obama to Hillary Clinton. A pro-war, anti-labor, anti-environment candidate representing the left. And at some point, we on the left just have to say enough. Sorry. You want to be the center party? Great. Be the center party. Be the center-right party. That's fine. That's not the party for me. And our votes are out here. If someone would like to form a progressive party, our votes are here. Unfortunately, under our winner-take-all system, rather than having a parliamentary system, with our winner-take-all system, it will always be two parties. It doesn't, the labels may change though. So what would have to happen is this progressive party would have to form and it would have to significantly outperform the Democratic Party. And unfortunately, the Democratic and Republican parties have already rigged the system so against third parties with all their ballot requirements and signature requirements and the ways they stage debates and so forth that the deck is already stacked against this. Trying to change the rigged system itself is rigged. And so it gives us even less to want to go for. And to me, I took a lot from Sarah Silverman. She was on Bill Maher's show this weekend. And she explained how she was a Hillary girl. And she was all about Hillary. She's all supporting Hillary, right? Because she figured, well, it was like when they had steroids in baseball. Everybody took them. So the people that didn't take them had to take them because everybody was taking them. And that's just the way baseball was played. Everybody was on steroids. So to complain that your guy was on steroids was irrelevant because everybody's on steroids. So you pick the guy you like. And that was her analogy for picking Hillary Clinton was, well, you know, she takes all this corporate cash. She takes all this Wall Street cash, but so does Barack Obama. So does every politician. So that's the way the game's played. So at least I like her stand on this, that, and the other thing. And then she says, and then along comes a guy who's not on steroids. And that's exactly it. It's the rigged system, stupid. It's, and I'll tell you, I don't know that I'd be so Bernie bro this election if it weren't for Barack Obama in 2008. I was so excited about Barack Obama. There was a lot of the same dynamics. Hillary Clinton was running for president. She was the establishment candidate. She'd already been coronated. It was her election. These primaries were just mere formalities. And then came Barack Obama, a once-in-a-lifetime candidate who is saying all the right things about how, yes, we can, and it's all about us, we, not the crowning of Hillary Clinton, but we, the people, can accomplish things. And we can overturn this Bush administration, this terrible Bush administration that spied and tortured and did these terrible things. And Barack Obama got my hope up. But Barack Obama got me with the mantle of hope and change and these 27,000 large crowds in Portland. And he spoke like a progressive. He spoke like a liberal. And I thought, man, a constitutional scholar talks like a progressive, first African-American president. For the first time in I don't know how many elections, I felt that wonder that anything was possible, that maybe this was a turning point for America. So I love this country, and I want to see it the best for it. And that maybe finally, with Barack Obama, we'd be evolving finally out of the shadow of George W. Bush and the shadow of the 20th century and be moving forward with progressive policies like they have in damn near every other functional country on the planet. We'd take care of our people. We'd take care of our infrastructure. We'd curb our military. We'd restore our civil liberties. That's what Barack Obama got me all hoping for, the change I was hoping for. And then to have him not even get the seat warm in the Oval Office and go against some of the most fundamental things he campaigned on. Right off the bat, dropping public option, right off the bat, excusing torturers and banksters. So that's part of why I fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's partially why when I see Bernie Sanders come along, unlike Barack Obama, where you could only go back and look at 4 years of speeches on the Senate floor, with Bernie Sanders, I can go back 30 years of C-SPAN video from the House and the Senate where the guy's been saying the same thing, who stood for the same policies before they were popular, before they were memes. And so now I've got that trust. I've got a candidate I actually trust, who I actually believe and hold the same, if not greater, expectations than I held for Barack Obama. I almost didn't get the chance to vote for Barack Obama because, as you know, Hillary Clinton was leading in the delegates and touting the super delegates, and the media was doing all they could to crown her preemptively and to dampen everyone's enthusiasm for Barack Obama. But fortunately, he was able to get through all the hurdles and all the shenanigans and get the nomination and go on to win. Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Democratic establishment figured that out. They learned their lesson from 2008, and they worked to, again, rig the system as best they could by having as few debates as possible, by scheduling them on Saturday and Sunday nights against football games, to do everything they could to sandbag Sanders' campaign so that Hillary could finally, it's finally her turn, and she could finally make history by becoming the first woman president. And that's the other thing, too, about Hillary. I often think that, like, beyond being the first woman president, why is she running for president? I think there's too much of her own ego in this run. And yeah, everybody's got to have some sort of ego to want to run for president. But I really think Bernie Sanders is one who's running for all of us, right? And it's not as if the left hasn't given every clear signal we can give that we're not being listened to. What do you think Occupy Wall Street was? What do you think that was? People camping out for months and protesting. That was a plea. That was a call to the left. That was a call from the left in this country that the system's seriously out of whack and somebody needs to do something about it, and that somebody should have been Democrats listening to that. That was our movement. That was our gathering to try to express our displeasure, and no one listened. Why? Because they don't have commas. Not enough commas in Occupy Wall Street. We don't have no money. Why bother listening to us? We don't write campaign checks. It was Black Lives Matter. It is Black Lives Matter. Another plaintive call from the left, from the disenfranchised, from the dispossessed, from the downtrodden. You know, the people Democrats are supposed to represent. So I kind of laugh at these Democratic establishment types that are like, oh, I can't believe this burning your bus thing. How terrible. You're all acting like children, stomping and wanting to take your toys and go home. Yeah, we are throwing a temper tantrum because it seems to be the only way we get noticed. Apparently sleeping in the parks and marching in the streets and signing all of those open for questions and change.gov petitions in the hundreds of thousands don't seem to accomplish anything. Oh, I love getting riled up about politics, folks. I'll tell you what, though. When we come back, let's talk about some weed. What do you say? That's enough about politics. Let's talk about the weed when I come back. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show, Toker Talk Radio on CannabisRadio.com, live from Potland, Oregon.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo!
Ignite the conversation on some trending topics along the Cannabis Radio social media network. Join our crew of thousands on our Cannabis Radio page on Facebook or at Canna Radio, C-A-N-N-A Radio on Twitter. Plus, look for our Facebook and Google Plus pages for all of our original programs and connect with Dr. Dina, Kyle Cushman, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Nurse Heather, Doc Rob, the hosts of Gondrepreneur, and more. Connect with the growing Cannabis Radio social crusade at Canna Radio on Twitter or search for Cannabis Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and Instagram and grow with us.
Are you playing an acoustic guitar but want to be louder without an amp? Try a resonator guitar. The fingerboard extension has National Resophonic and other resonators, square necks and round necks. Stop by the fingerboard extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com. Go wild hog in the woods.
Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here?
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 39 after the hour here. Reminding you that CannabisRadio.com is the new home of the Tommy Chong podcast. Episode 2 debuts on the live stream at 6 p.m. Pacific time tomorrow. Also available via iTunes and Stitcher. So we got some interesting miscellaneous marijuana news to cover here. And this first one comes from the website inverse.com. An interesting story about an analysis of over 10,000 descriptions of personal testimonies on drug use. More than 10,000, hundreds of thousands. Of people that write their drug experiences on the website Arrowid. Now, if you don't know Arrowid, E-R-O-W-I-D, Arrowid, you should check it out. It's an online drug encyclopedia, and like everything you ever wanted to know about any sort of drug is, you know, recreational drug, basically. They like to think of them as entheogenics, right? The substances that, you know, alter us, basically. Anyway, if you look out at Arrowhead, people have written their personal testimonies on using mushrooms or using acid or using synthetic drugs or whatever. So a team at Project Youth, a group called Project Youth at University of Amsterdam, cataloged all these people's stories. And what they did is they took out the stories that only mentioned one drug and instead concentrated on people's testimonies that had mentions of more than one drug involved. And what they found is that cannabis goes with everything. Because apparently everybody who's a fan of other types of drugs also like cannabis. So it's an interesting study where they found that people, since 2011, people taking cocaine have been much more likely to supplement their high with ecstasy than cannabis. The psychedelic 25I-NBOME, which hit the scene in 2010, is second most popular among amphetamine users. So there are some exceptions, but cannabis remains strongly preferred among those taking salvia and eating magic mushrooms. And it also looks at new designer drugs. It looks at some legal things like oxycodone and Prozac and so forth. But it finds that marijuana is the one, it's an appetite, like they're calling it an appetizer drug, that it just goes well with people that like any sort of drug experience, and might explain that marijuana isn't a gateway drug. It's more of a corridor drug. It's the connection between different drugs. Now that sounds scary because that would be, you know, that would lead people toward that gateway drug analysis that see marijuana does lead to other drugs. I think it just is so natural and so a part of our bodily systems, the endocannabinoid system, that people that like to take drugs recognize this and just enjoy it. You know, it'd be like saying, you know, we found that among people that drink whiskey, people that drink beer, and people that drink absinthe, they all seem to like coffee. And people that overeat donuts and have sex addictions, and they all seem to like coffee too. You know, just because there's this commonality doesn't necessarily mean that there's any sort of relationship between the two. All right, let's take a look also at, this is a funny, funny story coming out. We were just talking about the Democratic side on the primaries. Funny thing from the Republicans, John Kasich. You may recognize him as the sane one in the four Republicans that are remaining. And by that, it's a very low bar to clear. But John Kasich was on a radio station, WWJ, in Detroit, and was asked whether he had ever smoked marijuana. And he said that he smoked marijuana when he was younger, but, quote, what difference does it make, end quote. And that just because he's running for president, he should not have to answer what he considers gotcha questions. And at some point in his campaign, he's going to stop answering questions that he feels are irrelevant. He added that he's opposed to legalizing the recreational use of marijuana at the federal level. Oh, okay. Whether or not you smoke pot is an irrelevant campaign question. It's a gotcha question. But you would want to keep criminalized what it is you did. And you don't think there's any relationship between those two things. You think that you smoked pot and you didn't get caught, and you went on to become the governor of Ohio, and you were a cabinet member in the federal government, or I don't know if he was on the cabinet, he worked with the Clinton administration, and those jobs likely wouldn't have come your way had you gotten caught and had a criminal record, but you don't think it's appropriate to ask you those questions. Yeah, good enough for me, but not for thee. That's the typical, typical line. It's not a gotcha question, John Kasich. You wouldn't be governor, you wouldn't be running for president if you'd gotten caught and had a criminal record. And it's even less of a gotcha question now that states have legalized it. Right? We're not trying to trap you into proving that you're some sort of criminal. Oh, so that's the latest on the Republican side. Now, in some money news, this is interesting that in Aspen, Colorado, there were a few months in 2015 where marijuana sales in Aspen beat liquor sales. The seven dispensaries in Aspen have sold more than $8.3 million of medical and recreational pot last year. These are some numbers. Now, whether or not pot exceeds alcohol sales isn't the indicator we need to be careful of. The indicator we need to watch is whether or not alcohol sales go down. Nothing about this report says that alcohol sales have gone down. In fact, people have shown in Colorado that the alcohol sales have remained relatively steady, even with the increase in marijuana use, increase in marijuana sales. Now, some on our side would say, hey, it would be better if there was a decrease in alcohol use, that marijuana and alcohol would then be shown to be exchangeable. That people will use less alcohol if they have access to more marijuana. And since marijuana is safer, that is a net benefit for society. And while that might be true, I worry more about the political effect. If it's shown that legalizing marijuana reduces alcohol sales, that creates for us an opponent in the very, very strong beer, wine, and spirits industries. And they've got armies. We mentioned it earlier. They spent like $100 million on lobbying. They got armies of lobbyists. And if they start recognizing a trend that shows legalizing marijuana reduces their bottom line, we don't want to have them as our opponents. So I look at this, and when I see the Colorado numbers come in and say that alcohol sales have stayed the same, while marijuana sales have increased, I think that's good for now. I'd like to see it stay the same for about 4 years. I'd like to see those numbers stay the same for about 4 years. Let us get another, 8 or 9 or 10 states legalized. Then let's see the numbers come down. Then let's see the alcohol numbers come down and the marijuana numbers stay where they're at. Once it's set, once it's entrenched, once it becomes more obvious that the government's never going to undo this, then let's see those alcohol numbers come down. That'd be nice. We also have a story here. I almost put this in the stupid prohibition stories, but it didn't quite make it for me. It's a story right here from Sheridan, Oregon, local story, of a 50-year-old woman who faces charges now endangering the welfare of a minor after allegedly losing track of a 4-year-old that she was babysitting. The sheriff's deputies were called to a house on Monday because the child was missing. The resident, her name is Jill, said she was babysitting for a friend and left the child alone watching a movie while she took a shower. When she came out of the shower, the child was gone. She searched in and around the house but could not find the 4-year-old. So she calls 911, calls the cops. Cops come out. Cops come out. They find the kid in the living room hiding under a chair. It's like been in the house the whole time. But the deputies also found meth and drug paraphernalia and could smell burning marijuana. And Jill admitted she was smoking pot in the bathroom while the child was watching TV. So now she's charged with meth possession and endangering the welfare of a minor. That's a damn shame. You don't want to counsel people to not call the cops if a child goes missing. But you also have to counsel people that if you're using drugs, be extra careful. Check extra hard to find that kid before you call the cops over to catch you using drugs. Yeah, I didn't know how to put a stupid prohibition story frame on this one. Especially since there is meth involved. Although I should make the point to people, and maybe this is a good way to end this segment, is that just like we shouldn't make enemies out of the alcohol industry, we also shouldn't demonize people that use other drugs. I know our drug is far safer than meth and heroin and cocaine and all that. But keep in mind that most of the people that use those drugs also do not have a problem with those drugs, just like most pot smokers do not have a problem with pot. Now, it's a different kind of most. According to National Institutes of Drug Abuse, 9% of cannabis smokers develop an unhealthy dependence. 9%, 1 out of 11. Well, that means 10 out of 11 don't, right? 91% of us do just fine. Well, the numbers for cocaine are about 83%. About 83% of the people that use cocaine do not develop an unhealthy relationship with it. Even heroin, like meth is like 22%, 23%. So it's like meth, 3/4 of the people that use meth don't develop an unhealthy relationship with it. Even heroin, the most addictive of them all, one of the most destructive. 2/3 of the people that use heroin do not develop an unhealthy problem with it. And 70% of the people who use alcohol don't have a problem with it either. So we have to be careful because we are inundated and we should know better, but we're inundated by propaganda that fills our head as pot smokers with this idea that people that use the other drugs are depraved, vampiric, evil, untrustworthy. Those things can be true in cases. Hell, I've told you all my history with meth back in the 90s. I've seen and experienced some pretty shady shit. But I also have very dear friends, people who I was cranking with back in the 90s, who are still very dear friends of mine who don't use anymore, had their time with meth and quit and are perfectly fine and contributing to society. So be careful who you judge for what drug they're using. There, but for the grace of God, goes you.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Gondrepreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Gondrepreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Gondrepreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Gondrepreneur.com, helping gondrepreneurs grow.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Just a few minutes here before we wind things up on our live show here on CannabisRadio.com. But reminding you, got some great shows coming up for the rest of this week. On Thursday, we do our regular Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. We'll have a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition discussing their frontline experience in the war on drugs and why that informs their opinion now that all drugs should be legalized. And looking forward to next week, next Monday, I will be on a flight to Phoenix, Arizona. So there will be a pre-recorded Russ Belville show on Monday, next Monday. We'll see if we can get some Dr. Mitch on that show as well. And all sorts of events coming up. I'm not sure if I will be out at any event for the rest of March because we got a lot of work to do with CannabisRadio.com in Phoenix, building up the network. But I so badly want to be at the Ann Arbor Hash Bash, which is April 2nd. And Hash Bash is also taking place at the same time that Washington, D.C. smoke-in protest is happening. So I don't know. Ann Arbor Hash Bash is the oldest and the first in the marijuana season when it comes to activist protestivals. I'd love to finally, after all these years, get out to Ann Arbor. If you can help me, if you are in the Ann Arbor area and don't mind a couch surfer, that would help me a lot in making the decision whether to go to Ann Arbor or to go to Washington, D.C., where I know some people and could possibly crash on a couch. That's right, folks. We're pretty low rent here on the Russ Belville Show. We are low cost and very efficient, traveling with a couple of carry-on bags and sleeping on couches so that we can continue to bring you coverage of the emerging marijuana movement, medical marijuana research, the recreational marijuana industry. You stick with me, you're going to learn more about marijuana and the people involved with it than you ever thought you could know. We're going to go from coast to coast all the rest of this year. I've already got events lined up for New York and Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Orlando, Florida. Looks like we'll be back in Ohio. Going to march with my friends in Fort Worth, Texas, come this May. And, of course, all over the West Coast, from Seattle all the way down, well, maybe San Diego. I don't know if we'll get that far, but at least down to Los Angeles or San Bernardino, one or the other. Nevada, Arizona, of course, with its voting on marijuana legalization. I'm Radical Russ everywhere. You can find me on all the social media. If it's got a username, I'm Radical Russ on it. Also, RadicalRuss.com is my website, which I haven't updated in a while. Need to get some updates up there. And you can always email me, RadicalRuss@gmail. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios in beautiful Legal Potland, Oregon, and my friends at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.